You know, there's nothing better than on Mother's Day to invite or to listen or to hear or have a conversation with mums that are real, mums that love Jesus. And I've put together a panel of young mums, beautiful mums at different age stages in life. And we're going to have a bit of a conversation this morning with them about how they manage, first of all, their relationship with Jesus, how they manage their husbands. Yes, this is for you, Ross. Oh, no, that wasn't on there, but I just made it up. And, you know, how as parents they go. So I'd like to invite the ladies to come and join me here out the front. And we do have two microphones. So come on out, ladies. You know who you are. Stop hiding in the background. And while we're doing that, just a reminder that next week, next Sunday, the 19th, we'll be taking up a special offering for the children's camp over in the Philippines. You've got the mic, so you can... I've got the old side and the young side. Is that what you're saying, Nick? But next week on the 19th, we'll be taking up a special offering for Scott Buchanan in Philippines and the kids' camp that is currently on happening. So I've sent these ladies a couple of questions, and I'm sure we won't necessarily stick to this script, but I thought the first thing might be just for them to introduce themselves. So I'm going to... You start with you. You start with you, Nick. Yep.
Hi, I'm Nicole. Mother of two, mother-in-law of one, husband that likes to put me on the spot, and that's it.
That's me. That's me, in a nutshell.
Yes, I have three boys and 4.5 grandchildren and three beautiful in-law girls.
Hi, I'm Phil. I've got three boys as well. Jack is here, so I have to be careful what I say. Jack's 12 and just hit high school. Oh. And I've got twin boys, Conrad and Hudson, who are just turned 8.
I'm Madeline, and my daughter is Rose, and she is 18 months. And that, yeah. So I'm new to this.
New to motherhood. So as mothers, you know, how do you manage just the everyday stuff in life? So how do you find time to, you know, cook and to, you know, to clean and to care for the kids and care for your husband? And, you know, how do you find time for yourselves in that journey?
Oh, I was like, just got advice from the... Yeah, let's start with that side. Manage life. Well, I'm fumbling. I think I've started to put in some like routines and things like that. We have a fortnightly meal plan, so I don't have to think about meals and things like that. So, which appeases Clay because he doesn't like to have more than two meals in a row. So now we rotate that. But I think it's just a whole heap of learning and trial and error, and I didn't do it very well before, Rose, and I still feel like I'm doing it just as, with Rose. But
a fortnightly meal plan is not on my radar. I hate cooking. Yeah, I'm lucky to know what I'm cooking that night. Look. Like everyone, our life is so busy, and I was thinking about the questions that you sent, Lindsay, and I was thinking, you know, sometimes I think, well, I do, we put so much pressure on ourselves to have everything right, you know, the good meat and three veg meal and the clean house and the clean clothes and, you know, whatever, and sometimes I've had to learn that it doesn't have to be like that. Like, you've just got to do the best that you can do, and if that's... You get a barbecue chook and a takeaway one night, that's actually okay. So sometimes I just celebrate the little things that I got their kids to school on time, they've got clean clothes, clean undies, it's a winner, you know? So it's just the little things sometimes. I'm not that planned like I used to be, I guess. I've had to let that go. Not as a perfectionist.
mash and veggies. Can't go wrong. I had that for tea last night. Thanks, Nick. So what about you, Goffy? How do you manage that? Obviously, you're in a different stage, but your experience through that journey to get there and to where you are now, and still, you know, you're still a mum and you've still got grown-up children that are adults really now. How do you cope with that? How do you manage that?
Well, it seems to be the grandchildren now. We've just had...
kids got the flick.
Ben's family staying in our house, and luckily we have a granny flat which has been used a lot by us. been put out of our house. But, it's a little bit busy with having young ones around. I forgot how that they get up at 5 and they don't go to bed till like 8 or something. But it's just one day at a time for me, I think, how I used to do it. And a lot of prayers and a lot of late nights. And one tip for the young ones over in that corner, just get a big box for all their toys, throw it all in and put it in the bedroom, and that then you feel like you've really got a beautiful clean house for 5 minutes.
That's until their bedroom becomes like a floor drobe. I think I've found it really easy to have young children. I think it was more difficult when they became teenagers because we were going here, there and everywhere. It just got busier for us, I think. So lots to look forward to there, Philippa. Busyness. I always like to have a very tidy house. So toys sort of threw me out a bit. But I've got a boy that likes cricket and soccer, and that's pretty much it. He wasn't a Lego boy, and my daughter wasn't a Lego girl, so I've got that to be thankful for. So there wasn't a huge amount of little toys, which I was very pleased about. And Victoria was a really good sleeper, so early mornings weren't such a big thing for us either. Christopher had sort of come into our bed and fall back asleep, so that was, because I'm a night person, so late nights were good. And, teenage years became a little bit harder. We had two really good teenagers, as far as teenagers go. But just the time for family in that time was harder and harder. We had a, son that played soccer in Newcastle, and 3 days a week him and Lindsay were down there. So having a family meal that was really important to us around the family dining room table became something that happened like once or twice a week, which wasn't... Lindsay grew up in a family that... a broken family, and they didn't do the meal table very often, so that was really important to him. I'd had it every night of my life, so not so important to me, but could see the value in that. So it was a bit tricky when they got older. And now Christopher's very easy to live with. So he's sort of self-maintaining and at almost 20. And Victoria is probably still more work, even though she's married. So, and doesn't give me my personal space, as you obviously saw in the video, when she comes to the toilet. So I think, I don't know, I'm done.
Wow. Okay. I think... we've heard a fair bit about, the family, but I'm really interested to hear from you now about how have you managed to maintain and how have you gone in terms of your own relationship with Jesus in the journey of motherhood so far, the ups and downs, how's that working, how are you managing that, are you not managing that, what's your story in that, Phil?
This can be... pretty hard sometimes, obviously because our lives are so busy. There's one thing, and Goran's really instilled this in our family, is that every night each of us say a prayer with our kids, no matter what. It doesn't matter if it's 10 o'clock at night or they're going to bed at 7:30. We always say a prayer with them. And doing that, I've really realised it's amazing what matters, especially to 8-year-olds or to a 12-year-old. Like, it's things that you would not think matter. It really matters to them. So I think that time's really important. We're like you guys, we like to sit down and have a family meal together and say grace. That's always really important. And when I get to bed, I pray. That's one thing I really try to do. I may fall asleep sometimes during the prayer, but I'm sure God understands. So I think, the most important thing that we do try to do is those prayers. We probably don't read the Bible enough with our kids and do devotions with our kids enough. But we were talking about that the other day, and we would like to maybe start trying to do that a bit more. But, yeah, that's kind of where we are with that at the moment.
Well, I'll just finish off by saying with my routine, I don't stick to it, but I have it. So I'm normal. That's right. I put the effort into thinking about what I would like to achieve. So with Jesus, I think, like, one of the things that he's really been challenging me on is that I need to value his time with him more than I value the comfort of sleep, that he's actually my comfort. And so at the moment, I'm really trying to get up that little bit extra time from Rose and just have that little bit of time, because the days that I do that, things go a lot better. But even, like, even though I know that, I still sit in my bed in the morning and go, I could just stay here. And Rose is, she's a really good sleeper, not this week, but mostly she's been a good sleeper. And so, you know, getting up that little bit extra shouldn't be a big deal, because she gets up at, like, you know, like, I get her out of bed about 7:30, 8. So that's how much I like my sleep. So I think it's just a different way of the same struggles that we had before having a baby. Just really trying to remember that he isn't my comfort and he's the strength that will get me through each day.
I know when the kids were younger, you know, we'd always read with them and pray with them each night. As they got older, they started to do a little bit of that for themselves, and more so as they got older. But for me personally, I went through some very dry patches of not reading my Bible very much and praying, always praying, but just not taking that time. And but then there were other times where I was very diligent, and I am, as I said, a night person. I think it's a better option to actually get up and start your day with Jesus, but that just was not on the cards for me. At that particular time, I sort of got up just in time to go to work. So nighttime was always a time just before bed where I'd spend time with God and pray. I found some really good devotionals for mums, and so... Yeah, there were periods where I was completely into God's word, but nothing like what has been the last few years. It's just, especially since giving up full-time work, being able to get into the Bible a whole lot more. And I get that why people like mornings. I'm lazy. But getting up of a morning and just having time. Anyone in my household, and probably people that have camped with me, realise that you don't speak to me for the first hour, because it's a little bit of a grumpy time. But that time is, I usually get up, get my coffee and go and get my Bible and sit by my window, you know, looking outside, and that's where I like to spend, you know, a good half hour, when I'm not going to work. And I really enjoy that. And it's good for me. Sorry.
Okay, so I'm a night owl too, because the last 20 years I've had to work. I do a whoosh and I get up at 5:30 and get to work at 6:30. So, morning devotions, they don't happen. So, but nighttime they do. Yeah. Or when they go. Yeah, so, through when the kids were little, I think friends are very good. Christian friends are very good to have for the encouragement they give you. I don't know where I'd be without the friends that I've had along the way. We've had a few ups and downs in our lives with boys, and boys are boys, and they've had a few injuries along the way. So we've had to rely on God to help us through those tough times. And I just think these days, if I'm in the car, I just have a little chat with God. And with my eyes open. But or doing anything, just have a chat to Him. But those there's a few Bible apps now that are really good. I've been looking into those lately. So, yeah.
Isn't it amazing just to hear the stories of mums at different stages in their life and the challenges they face with kids and finding time for themselves and finding time to make sure that they connect with Jesus. And I want to make sure that we talk a little bit about, as mothers, how do you try and encourage your kids to grow in Jesus? I've heard some of those stories already, but what else can you share? Is there any other thoughts you'd like to share with other people to encourage mums, particularly about how to grow children that are hopefully going to become disciples or followers of Christ? Who would like to go first?
Apart from, reading to them and praying with them, I think it's really important that the way you are on Sunday is the way you are every day. I think you have to be really real with your kids, and because they see straight through you if you're not. And I just think they need to see the ups and downs in your Christian life as well as in everyday life, because they definitely see that. I think that's the main thing. I think it's just being very real with Jesus in your life, because that's the only way they get to see, apart from other people, get to see how things can work with Jesus as apart from Jesus, and how you deal with issues that come up. And how you live that out is really important, because if you're trying to teach them about Jesus and you're reacting in a way, not that I haven't got this right all the time and I still get it wrong, but it's really important to apologise then too, and to your kids. But I think they need to see that just being real. Because if it's not real to you, then why would it be real to them?
Yeah, lead by example, I think, is a good way to be. Lots of things have happened bringing up our kids, like Ben nearly lost his leg a few years ago. And it was just encouraging for us, because we really thought, what are you doing up there? And Ben said, it's all right, Mum. God will see us through. And he did. He still got his leg, and that was, your kids can be an encouragement to you. So, just by just the simple things, saying grace in when you're having a meal or something, just a simple thing.
Did Ditto. Just kidding. Oh, look, I think I agree with everything you're saying, obviously. I think we do try that. Like, we try to instill... we send our kids to Maitland Christian School. That's obviously our choice because it's similar morals and values to what we have in the home. Other than what you've said, we really do encourage our kids to pray about the little things that matter to them, as well as, pray as a family is really important. We probably don't do that enough either. And also have a good group of Christian friends around to support us. I was thinking about the beautiful Jess Barnes over there and how sometimes at the bus stop I go, what? And one morning I was whinging to her about one of my boys had this friend at school and he's a naughty boy. And he was hanging around this kid and then he was going to get in trouble and a bad example and blah, blah, blah. And I was getting all worked up about it. And Jess just said, Philippa, you just need to pray for that child. And I went, oh, she's so right. So I think to have a good group of friends around to help you in that journey with your kids and your kids' friends, I think that's really important and it's a good reality check sometimes.
I've forgotten the question.
Please repeat. It was in relation to, your kids and... Yeah. Yep.
Well, with Rose, I think it's more like a flow on from the second question, but we have like a story time after breakfast, and I choose a biblical based book for that, so that can set the tone for later being a devotional time, and we pray with Rose every night. But I've through the parenting books that I've been reading and the friends that I've been talking to. It's a lot about that modelling stuff, and I think through that process, you're actually like for me, I'm learning about my relationship with God, and then how to respond to that, which then hopefully will flow on to Rose, because I think that example of growing and changing and trying to be a parent to our children the way that we want to be able to relate to God. Like, how am I setting myself up that Rose can come to me as a template for how she can go to God? Because I know that that's something that I struggle with. Like, I'm always like, oh, when I my first response isn't to run to God. But I want Rose's first response, like, to learn that she can come to me so then I can then say to her, like, this is how God loves you, so that she can run to him. And, so I think some of the books that we've been reading to try and establish what is the heart of God for us, and as a parent try and be that to my child.
Great advice there for us to lean on and learn. And I think Nick would agree. I was just thinking about our time, Nick, in terms of been involved in various ministries, we always took the kids with us. And so that modelling out of service and praying is so vital to get that into our children and praying into their lives and hope that they will follow him in their own decision. So as we finish, what would be just a bit of advice or the greatest thing you think you could offer other mums out there? Any advice that you'd like to just finish with?
Just take one day at a time, I think. One day at a time with God. And if there's something that comes up, you just take it to God. And he doesn't always answer your prayers 2 minutes later, but he does answer them. So, and sometimes I think we don't honour what he does, like we don't acknowledge the prayers that he does answer. I mean, we should really. So, yeah.
Okay, I would say go with your gut. You're their mum. You know what they are like, If you've got friends that aren't at that stage of life yet and they're putting their expectations onto you, just politely say thank you and do what you think is best for your child. I remember having some friends that are very good friends try to help me, and it's just very interesting when they get to that stage and they make the decisions that you had made and you thought, oh, okay, it wasn't so bad after all. And there was one other thing that I've forgotten, so if you want to go on to the girls, I just need to think about it.
Well, I think... Oh, dang it, I just... there was two... Yeah, but I know that. I just forgot. It just left my brain. This is mother's brain. It actually is real. There was two things I was going to say. One of them is coming back to me, similar to what Nicole was saying. Like, I think it's important to have people around you that will give you advice and you can bounce things off. But I think listen to the advice, but you know best. So you can, like, take on board what's applicable and leave the rest. I think that was one of the advice that I was given, is to just, like, listen and then go, well, that doesn't really fit right and I'll do this. And the second one was that you've got to trust that you're doing better than you think you are, because that's the truth. You are doing better than what you think you're doing.
I think the old saying, all you can do is all you can do. You know, as a mother, again, we put so much pressure on ourselves, and I think that you're not going to get it right. I'm certainly not. We have good days, we have bad days, we have days where I'm really patient, some days I'm not so patient. We have mornings where we get out of the house by 7:30 easily, other days not so easily, but, you know, at the end of the day, like, I'm doing the best I can. There's no perfect mum out there, although I did have one that was pretty close. I just think, give yourself a break sometimes, and also do try and take time for yourself. Again, I am so not good at this, but I've just started bushwalking with friends, if anybody wants to join, because I love getting outdoors. And I think if I plan doing something with other women or family or whatever, then I carry it through. Whereas if I just do something ad lib, I'm not accountable to them. So if taking time out for yourself, you're finding it hard, get with somebody else to make you accountable to do that, because then I'm a better mum that day and that week because I've done exercise, I've done something I love to do. So, yeah, just, you know, you're doing a great job.
And the other thing I did... That's it. I've got it. It's really important. So it's always letting your child know that regardless of what is going on, it's okay. They can talk to you. Just having those communication channels open for everything and anything, regardless of whether it's a boy thing or a girl thing, I just think that it's really important that they know they can come to you with anything, which can get a bit hairy. but just, yeah, they know that you love them enough that, you know, regardless of if it's something you want for them or like them doing, they can come and talk it through with you.
There's a lot of information there, ladies, for many different people to process, and we thank you for your openness and your willingness to share your stories and how you connect and maintain your relationship with Jesus, how you love your kids and how you try and, you know, live out a life that is real, that is God-honouring, and with all the changes and age stages that happen in life, it's a challenge being a mum. But let me just pray for you and pray for mums in general, and then I'll invite the worship team to come on up, back up for us. Lord, we thank you that we are here, Lord, and we particularly want to bring mothers before you today, Lord. And as we read earlier in your word, Lord, Mary, who watched her son die on the cross, of the weight that he carried, Lord, just the pain that Mary was aware that he was in. We thank you for loving mothers, Lord. We thank you for the mothers that are examples to their children, examples to their husbands, examples to their community, examples in our church, Lord. We thank you for them. We pray that we will continue to support mothers in our church here and in our community as the best we can, Lord. Help us to always, as we've heard from the mothers today, Lord, to focus on you in our lives, because we know if we give glory back to you, Lord, that our lives will be down a path that you want us to go. We thank you for the mother's heart, Lord, and the sacrifices they make for their family and friends, Lord, and we thank you. But most of all, Lord, we just want to thank you for your grace and your forgiveness for our sins. Amen. Thank you, ladies.